everyone, Neil Patel here. Thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indiana Startup Show. So today I speak to Christian Nahr. He's the CEO of GeekTrust. GeekTrust is an online platform that connects talented developers with great opportunities. So he quit his job at ThoughtWorks 4 years ago and became an entrepreneur with zero experience in running a business, but he's still alive and kicking and is doing very well. So he's now a team of nine, close to profitable, and has over 25,000 developers on this amazing platform. So in this podcast, he shares his valuable insights from the last 3 years. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Christian. Thank you for coming on the Indiana Startup Show today.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for inviting me.
Please tell the listeners what you're building.
So I'm building an online platform for developers to find their dream opportunity, to fulfill their true potential. Development is a craft and an art, and we find opportunities for such developers to build, high-end technology products.
How did you get started?
So I worked at this company called ThoughtWorks for about 10 years. I left ThoughtWorks in a technology role. And, I'm based out of Bangalore. And in Bangalore, there's something in the air about Bangalore, about starting up and all of that. Mm-hmm. So just felt that I wanted to be part of the scene. There's a lot of things, interesting work happening. So I just took the plunge, took the risk and said, hey, let me do something on my own and see where it goes.
Excellent. And how are things going? Can you share some stats?
Sure. So it's been about 3 years since we started. We have about 26,000 developers who look for their job through GeekTrust today. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every day a developer gets a job through GeekTrust. For the last 6 months, for every day an offer goes out to a developer through GeekTrust. So things are all right, not too bad.
Is that what you expected when you first started 3 years ago?
Yeah, I knew that this was the recruitment space is not a space that's easily winnable. It's a long game. So I'm in it for the long haul. There's no platform in the world today that a developer goes to and says, hey, I know I will find a great job through this platform. So I want to be that platform. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it'll take me 5 years is what I imagine.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the recruitment companies?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the Bangalore and India space, I don't think there's any online platform that's competing too much with us. It's mostly in the sense that there's nobody that big today. Mm-hmm. Mostly recruitment consultants are our competitors, and they tend to work with often now Cree mostly. So that's pretty much our competition, but it's been the same for 10 years. So people are looking for a change. Every week I get about 3 to 5 companies writing into me saying that, please help me find some good tech talent.
Okay, excellent. Okay. And going back to the early days, what roadblocks did you have? What challenges do you have to overcome?
See, I think when you start up, right, it's fundamentally a question of confidence. And, there are a lot of people like me, entrepreneurs who are first generation entrepreneurs. My parents were government employees. My brother works at an IT firm. So it's really hard to, you need to find out things on your own. So the initial blocks were, then what you do is you start reading up and seeing what everybody else is doing. And then, you go through the whole rigmarole of, should I raise funding? How much many people should I hire? When you're a B2B2C platform like me, then you think about, okay, should I go after my clients first or should I get my candidates in first? So a lot of confusion exists. So that was, a big thing for me. And I finally, I just relied on my own judgment to figure out what works. I was not listening to what's happening in the market. Just what made logical sense, man. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And did it help you that you worked at ThoughtWorks?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is what has helped me run this business. So every time I go to a company or a company writes into me, the credibility of having worked 10 years at ThoughtWorks as a technologist helps you, puts you, above everybody else that they work with. So lots of doors have opened. We have credibility on both sides of our platform from a company's perspective as well as from a candidate's perspective, definitely. Mm-hmm. So that's what I say. If you're looking to start up, right, don't burn bridges with your earlier company. Always go out on a good note from wherever you are. All those networks come into play. Your network is what helps you the most.
And how long did it take you to get your first customer?
Interestingly enough, it wasn't hard to find a first customer, again, because of the connect that I had from my previous employer. ThoughtWorks is a place where a lot of people leave and start up on their own. So I just started reaching out to them initially. Within a week, I think I had my first customer signed up.
How did that feel?
Oh, it was great. I mean, when I started up, I was thinking, who would pay me money to do anything for them, right? And then so getting the first paycheck from a company, getting something going was a real boost of confidence. And, more than building your product, more than building, your marketing plan and all of that, actually getting the cash flow going, mm-hmm. to figuring out how you can give value and other people will pay for that value is super important. Mm-hmm. It's not talked about much in the media or, you know, all these articles you see. But figure out your core value, get somebody to pay for it. Super important.
Why do you think people don't talk about it in the media?
In general, there is so much news about funding, and that's what people tend to cover. So if you want to understand the real nitty-gritties about, you know, how, what does it actually take to run a startup? I mean, out of 100 people starting up, maybe one raises funds. And out of that one, they may not even be raising enough funds to for media to cover it. So then, you know, what you do is you need to find out other sources where people who have been there, done that, come and talk, like your show, for example, right? Where people, the actual practitioners of people who have run startups come and talk. I don't take advice from people who have not been there. I mean, I do take advice. I don't listen to it. Always take advice from people who have been there, done that in the startup space. You know?
What were the thoughts of your employee, the ThoughtWorks employees, when you told them you want to quit and do your own startup?
You know, mostly it was encouraging. I think, you know, at every point, you know, I spent 10 years there. I mean, how much longer was I going to stay there, right? So I think mostly it was encouraging. People were telling me, you know, great move, and, you know, just help me give that confidence that, hey, Krishnan, you know, you can do this. So yeah, sure. I mean, there was some, of course, there will always be somebody saying, hey, why don't you just continue? You know, you're doing great here. But I just felt that this was the right time to move. And Bangalore as an industry also, you know, is very supportive of this. I go to a coffee shop today anywhere in Bangalore, there are at least 5 other startups there. So that's the scene here right now.
Lots of opportunities for you then.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of opportunities. In fact, I remember the story when I just started up. I was sitting at this coffee shop in Bangalore, in the heart of Bangalore, Koramangala. And I can see a lady talking to 4 very young folks. And then they leave, right? And then she starts looking around at other tables and saying, hey, what are you doing there? Yeah. So it's essentially, there are investor scouts. There is this, you know, there is this overall... There is this culture of, you know, go on, leave your job and try something else and all of that. And then, you know, what I feel is Indian tech industry, we've been around for the last 20 years. We're a $150 billion industry. But it's time to move on from the outsourcing industry. It's time to build products for the world from India. It's time to build some really kick-ass products. It's not just about, you know, copying an Amazon or copying a Facebook. It's about building really products for the future from here. And that time is now. We have to do this now. We are best equipped to do it.
So it's been three years now. Is it pressure on or pressure off now? You know what you're doing now. You're making revenue. You've got clients, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I think it's always pressure on. I don't think there's a time of pressure off. Now the pressure is to how do we scale this up more, right? If I'm giving out, you know, if 30 offers are going out to GeekTrust in a month, how can I make that in 100 in the shortest time possible? Because we need to keep growing at a pace which allows us to sort of, you know, become the de facto place people go to find the next job. And for that, pressure is always on, man. There's no off.
What would success look like then, in your opinion? For this company.
Success for me is success for our stakeholders. So, which is essentially, we have 2 stakeholders. One is the developers, and other companies. So, you go to any company in India or in Bangalore today and say, "Do you find it easy to hire?" And the answer is no. So, for me, success is for them being able to say, "Yes, when I use GeekTrust for my technical hiring, I'm able to find talent," and that is happening today. And on the other side, for my other stakeholder, for the developers, to say that, you know, I don't use a, today there is no platform that developers go to. I want them to be able to say, you know, I'm a techie, I'm a developer, I love writing code, I will find my next job through GeekTrust. I just know that. So that is what success looks like to me.
Cool. And in terms of marketing strategies, you know, what have you tried, what's worked, what's not worked in the last 3 years?
So we use, what's really worked is content, right? Writing from the heart, writing things which matter, and sharing without expecting anything in return, right? That always helps. Whenever I write stuff about, you know, things I've learned, or whenever one of the developers at GeekTrust write about how we have implemented something, we always see a surge in, you know, people using our platform. So what's worked for me in general with marketing is writing content that is true, and it's not just clickbaity, or it's not just about very extremely superficial stuff. Writing about stuff that you feel you care deeply about. Somehow when you do that, right, you are able to connect with your audience. And we use all the typical marketing channels to, you know, the digital channels to spread the word about GeekTrust. The thing about marketing I've learned is you can spend a ton of money on marketing and not know what's worked. So we always circle back with people who are high, you know, sort of power users with us and ask them, how do you hear about us? And even today, about 45% say they heard of us through word of mouth. So, you know, giving somebody a great experience is the best marketing you can do.
Cool. And you mentioned learning. What have you learned during your 3 years of startup life?
Oh, that would take the rest of the day, Neil. So, you know, I'll tell you. Yeah. So, you know, working in software for 10 years, you think you know a lot of things, right? But end of the day, I realized that the only thing I knew was how to build software, right? I didn't even know how to build software for that people would use. You know, we're always building stuff, but you never stop to think about how will my users respond to it. And that's just the nature of the Indian IT industry. We build stuff for our Western clients. We don't see these clients, right? We don't see our end users. So we don't know how it is to build a software for them. So I think the biggest thing I've learned in the last 4 years is one, how to build products that people will use, mm-hmm. right? And to be honest, how not to do that is what I learned first. So that is one primary thing. Second thing I've learned is, you know, I used to get swayed by advice a lot, like, you should try that. And I realized that, you know, not everybody starts up, right? And not every startup is successful. So there is no real formula for this. So you have to go with your own intuition. You have to go with your own judgment of what is right and what is wrong. It might look really bad, might look really wrong for everybody else. But if you feel that's the right thing to do, then you should just go ahead and do it, because that's how great companies are built. Nobody built a great company by consensus, right?
You mentioned startup failure. You know, why do you think most, you know, I think it's about 80% of startups fail. What's the main reason, you think, in your opinion?
Because they don't create value. They forget about why they're building the product. I mean, you get entangled in what you're doing and you forget about, you know, the core value that you're giving to somebody which has to generate some revenue for you. You take your eyes off that and you get so caught up in saying in your own, you know, you drink your own Kool-Aid and then you think, hey, I'll build this and this will become the next Facebook. But you have not validated it. Without validation, your products fail. I mean, ideally, you shouldn't write a line of code without having a customer, right? There are at least one person who say, hey, I love this, I will do this. And then you do it somehow. You talk about Jugaad. This is where Jugaad should kick in. You get value, you give value, get money, get revenue out of it, prove that the concept works. People will tell you. You talk to people and say, I'll do this. Will you give money for it? 100 people will tell you yes. But actually getting them to sign the check is a different deal altogether. Right. That's why startups fail. They don't focus on the core value and make sure that they can make money off it. They're just caught up in the other paraphernalia, which is, you know, more glamorous, I guess.
Very glamorous. Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about hiring then. Obviously, you're the expert. Can you give our listeners some hiring tips? Obviously, you use your platform, but anything else?
Yeah, I think I can speak about hiring for technologists.
Yeah.
If you're hiring for technologists, the time has passed when you should look at where this technologist studied, or, you know, whether they went to an IIT or whether they're working at a product company. A developer can showcase that talent to you with code. So it's time we moved away from resumes. And if you're looking to hire great tech talent, try and find out if they can write code. That's the only thing that matters. Of course, the culture check and, you know, their attitude and all absolutely kicks in. But if you can stop looking at candidates from a point of view of resumes, I guarantee you'll be able to hire people. And we've been able to do that for many of our clients.
Excellent. Okay. And how did you find your first employees?
So I was super lucky. I mean, I've been in this industry for the last 13 years, 10 years at ThoughtWorks. So pretty much everybody at GeekTrust is somebody I've known for the last 7, 8, sometimes even 10 years. One of my co-founders, he and I were roommates when we started our careers back in 2003. Mm-hmm. We have kept in touch, we have been friends, and when the time came, you know, we just started up on our own. My other co-founder, she and I worked together for about 7 years at ThoughtWorks. The two other principal engineers that work at GeekTrust, I've known them for 10 plus years. So it's just your own network that builds stuff of you. So that is really my leverage. That is what I have, you know, a core team who we have known each other for like a decade or so, and we just focused on solving a hard problem.
So for startups listening, do they go for all rounders or people with specific skills then, in your opinion?
They should do both, have more all rounders and a few specialists. Yeah, you never know what will change, right? So if you end up hiring a lot of specialists and suddenly you decide to do something in which you don't have somebody for, then you need to hire again, right? And what are you going to do with that specialist you just hired? So as much as possible, get people who are willing to learn, who can be generalists. And when you need it, you need somebody specific for a front-end skill of a machine learning, then hire. But till then, you're a good, you know, all-rounder, like you said, should be able to run to make things work for you.
And you mentioned culture before. I mean, how's the culture been at GeekTrust for the last 3 years? How's it changed? Or has it changed?
So I don't think it's changed. We are still a pretty small team. We're a team of 10 today. And when I started up, obviously, it was just me. But for us, culture hasn't changed much. It's always been a super friendly atmosphere where we're looking to make an impact. So all of us here at GeekTrust, because we believe we can do something that will create an impact. And interestingly enough, that's what we're trying to do with GeekTrust as well. Build a platform that people who feel that they can make a bigger impact in the world can come on and find companies that are matched to them. So culturally, not a lot has changed. But culture is super critical for all startups as you build. And culture is very simple. Culture is, for me at least, the culture is what the leadership says and speaks. Right? It is not about what you have on your walls, or whether you have a foosball table in office, or whether you're giving away chocolates as snacks. Nobody cares. End of the day, culture is what leadership says and what leadership does.
So you started this on your own. How's your management style changed then?
I think, you know, I'm extremely comfortable doing things on my own. My management style has changed in a manner that I've sort of learned to let go. You know, that's really, really hard to do. You want to have a say in everything. It's your baby. It's your product. It's your sale. It's your marketing. But at some point, you know, you realize that the people who are with you, for them also, it's their baby. It's their product. It's their marketing. So you need to let go. That's what I've learned.
Looking back, would you like change anything then?
I can't think of anything that I would have changed right now, but I'm sure I've made a ton of mistakes. Yeah, actually, yes. I think one thing I would have changed is I should have been following the data that GeekTrust was generating earlier. I made a lot of decisions based on, you know, just what I thought was right. But at some point, right, you need to balance that with actual data of what you see. If I want to say what I want to build a feature X, I need to have some proof that feature X adds to value, which I was not doing for the first couple of years. It's only in the last 1 year that we've become much more data focused. So any startup out there looking to build stuff, make sure that you're capturing data, make sure that your data gives you intelligence you can use.
And you're based in Bangalore. You know, what is the tech scene like in Bangalore now? Is it still booming or is it slowing down?
It's absolutely booming. It is absolutely booming. The trend I see is it may not be the large, like you may not, your Infosys, TCS of the world are not the employers of choice anymore. And they've done a great job over the last decade or so. Nowadays, people want to build more products for themselves and all of that. And a lot of companies are out there. The hard part is in the, you know, 7-8 years ago, there were probably 10 companies you could choose from, which were the top 10 in Bangalore. Today, there are probably 300 of them, right, which are as good as the other. And all doing great work. And yeah, I'm making a plug here, but that's what we are trying to do. We're trying to make sure that you as a developer can find these really curated, interesting opportunities that you would not have heard of otherwise. So a lot of great work happening here, Neil. A lot of fantastic work. I mean, you can just feel it in the air here.
And do you have like favorite startups in India or Bangalore?
I can't do that. I would say all the companies that I work with are my favorites. I mean, they wouldn't be on the platform if we didn't like them. So one of us, either me or my co-founder Sneha, we go and meet almost every startup that applies to us. We make sure that we feel that this is a good place to work at. You know, they're doing interesting work, and then we onboard them. So they're all my favorites.
So you've been doing this for 3 years. What would this business look like in say 10 years time then?
10 years time. We'll be geographically across the world. Any developer, say in San Francisco, Berlin, Tokyo, would use GeekTrust to find the next job. We would provide a lot back to the community. Today, for any developer who wants feedback on their skills, we give them feedback for free. You can come and solve a GeekTrust coding challenge. We'll give you feedback for free. I see ourselves having a much, much larger, stronger community 10 years from now, where developers are helping each other out. They're passing on tricks of the trade. All of that happens on GeekTrust. And obviously, you know, companies can tap into this fantastic pool of tech talent and for the hiring.
What do you think the mindset is then to run a successful startup then?
Just two things, in my opinion, optimism and confidence, right? So while I say these two things are the most important, you should have the confidence that, you know, what you're doing works for you. You should be super optimistic about it. Only extremely optimistic people can run successful startups. But at the same time, you should have the humility to understand that you make mistakes, you should be critical of yourself, and you should be able to change things when required. But if you don't have the confidence and the optimism, don't even start up.
Where does your optimism come from, Ed?
I don't know, man. I guess that's inherently, I just think, you know, things will work out. Like, way of being, I guess.
So is this better than corporate life then?
Oh, by 10x. Yeah. I mean, I love my job at ThoughtWorks was great. I was heading delivery for Bangalore. I worked with a fantastic bunch of people. But starting up, like I was saying to somebody else recently, was like I found true love. It was 10x, 100x better than my corporate life. It gave me a sense of purpose for every day. I was just asking somebody who joined us a couple of months ago, I asked him, you know, what has changed for you after joining GeekTrust? He said, when I get up in the morning, I feel like coming to work. Mm. Right? I just enjoy coming to work. Mm. So I think, you know, that sense of, as human beings, we all want to have some sense of purpose. And that's what starting up gives us. We are closer to that sense of purpose. So we just love it. We just want to do something that makes a larger impact, right? Who wouldn't want to do that?
Would you ever go back to corporate life?
Hey, not if I can help it. So putting on my optimism, never.
Good stuff. Last few questions then. Sure. So you're a first-time founder. Have you got any advice for other first-time founders? You know, what should they be focusing on?
So I always tell people this, okay? Starting up is a really lonely journey. Even if you have founders, you know, there are days where you're sitting at home in your pajamas. It's not about this fancy office. You're sitting at home in your pajamas with a laptop in your lap, with a broken Wi-Fi connection, and you need to do that day after day. Make sure you're mentally prepared for it. Make sure your family is supporting you. Mm. If you don't have the support of your immediate friends and family, it's really hard to do this because it's extremely lonely otherwise. So, and it's, I mean, I don't like this advice of it's now or never. It's not. If now is not the right time, wait for a bit. Make sure that you have the financial runway of, say, at least 6 months for your personal life before you start up. Right? Or you want to look for funding, that's a different story. Then you can probably do that too. Mm. But otherwise, make sure you have that support. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you speak to a lot of web developers then. What do they actually want? Obviously, money. But other than that, I mean, what specifically do they want? Is it a challenge or to work for a big company?
So two things I would say. People, let's take money out of the picture because that is hygiene. People definitely want money. Nobody's changing jobs not for money, right? So money is there. Other than that, people are definitely looking for interesting work. Mm-hmm. And today, interesting work is mostly in the data space, right? Mm-hmm. People want to, data is like the web of, you know, 20 years ago. Data will drive a lot of things, artificial intelligence, machine learning stuff. All people are interested in today. And the second thing is people will look at company stability as well. It's not that people are going to stick in a company for the next 10 years like I did, or you know, like many my age did. People are going to move jobs in 2 to 3 years. So they're just looking, does this company have the runway to last 2 to 3 years? Will I have interesting colleagues there? And of course, will I get paid well? Mm. But yeah, data is the keyword here. A lot of people want to work with data. In fact, I just heard this that, you know, a lot of good companies won't even talk to you if you've not done some machine learning data science in your past experiences. Yeah.
Mm. So obviously, web developers or junior web developers, if you don't have the experience, then you can't get a job. If you can't get the job, don't have the experience. It's like a catch-22 situation.
So, I have people writing to me asking about this. And what I tell them is, get any job you can get and be bloody well good at it. Mm. Right? It's whatever the job is, even if it's a pretty simple website, there is no data, nothing to be done. You can write code in a manner that, you know, enhances your craft. But, you know, it's not about just getting things done. It's about getting things done right. And the beauty about tech is, you know, there is so much content available. There is so much you can read up and learn on. You can always keep improving. Mm. So take whichever job you can find, keep learning. And if you keep learning and you write good code, you will just keep progressing in your career. That is guaranteed. And with platforms like GeekTrust, nobody will care whether you have passed your 10th standard or not. As long as you can write good code and showcase it on a GeekTrust, you'll get great jobs. Mm-hmm. And not just GeekTrust, there are other platforms like us as well. But I mean, you know, keep learning, showcase your code, you will land that job.
Mm-hmm. Is there any like hot programming languages at the moment? Or do you see different trends and stuff like that?
So what I've seen in the last, when I started up, the first year I started up, you know, hardly anybody used Golang. Mm. Today, most companies, a lot of new companies writing into us are using some Golang, at least in some of their services and stuff. So like Java, definitely everybody continues to use Java, but the more startups I've talked to, it's Python and Golang seems to be the trend that is picking up. Ruby on Rails is still around, but Python and Golang is definitely key technologies to pick up if you want to be in the startup world.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What's the business model? How do you go about making money out of this?
So one thing I had an intuition for upfront is I wanted to stick to a traditional business model, mm-hmm. because to break into companies would be harder if my business model was very radical and different. Mm-hmm. So my business model is exactly the same as all my competitors, which is a recruitment consultant. So when somebody is able, a company is able to hire successfully through GeekTrust, they pay us our fee. So till then, GeekTrust is free to use. We give you a platform. We give you licenses. We do code evaluations for free for you. Only when somebody joins you and you've hired somebody, you've got value, we charge a fee.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. And last few questions then. Do you have any hobbies and interests? Obviously, you're working on this full-time.
Yeah, this pretty much eats up all my mind space, but I love to read. That's pretty much all. I would love to see a lot more movies than I do now. But any superhero movie that comes out, my son and I, we make sure we don't miss it. But otherwise, reading is what keeps me going.
Can you recommend any books or blogs to our listeners?
So from a startup perspective, one blog I keep going back to, and this helps you understand the basics of stuff, is BothSidesOfTheTable.com. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty useful for me. Books-wise, a lot of inspirational books. The books I needed the most were books around marketing. Mm-hmm. So I can't recall the name of the author now, but there were some marketing books that I read that were really good. And one Indian author's book, which I really enjoyed, was The Golden Tap by Kashyap Deorah. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a really good sense of what's happening in the Indian tech scene. And you realize that, you know, the Indian tech scene is really about American VCs and Chinese VCs. It's not really about Indian tech scene. Like, I saw this joke on Twitter yesterday. The startup capital of India is Singapore. I was falling on the floor laughing because that's where all these companies are registered. Mm. But yeah, Kashyap Deorah's Golden Tap, I would highly recommend. It's a really good book to pick up.
What do you think about that, the fact that it's dominated by American and Chinese VCs?
I don't have an opinion. I don't know what to think there, in the sense that the fundamental problem is that you need India as a market which has, you know, potentially a billion people. Mm. And the penetration is nowhere close to that today. Like the Chinese market, at least I'm guessing 30-40%, if not 50% penetration has happened. In India, it's probably 10%, right? If that. So that 90% exists there, and how do you get to them? And to getting to them, somebody needs that money to reach them, right? Mm. And if the Indian VCs don't have that money, obviously you're going to look at, you know, American VCs who have already made that money either in the Bay Area or in the Chinese market, and they're coming in. So somebody has to put in that money. They have put in the money. I don't see anything wrong in that.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay, last question then. For people who want more information on GeekTrust and yourself, what must they do?
Write in to us, hello@geektrust.in. Always welcome. I'm open for a chat. Anything you want to know, I'm happy to share my experiences.
Brilliant. Christian, thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Nice. Great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you. Thanks for Christian for coming on the show today, and check out the links if you want more information. Thank you for listening to, and if you want to come on the show, please email me hello@neilpatel.co. Let's connect on facebook.com/IndianStartupShow and Twitter @IndianStartupSH. Thank you and goodbye.